Amen. Wow. I'm just praising the Lord. Bonnie, those songs. They were so wonderful. The revelation of who He is. He is our revelation, our hallelujah. I love that. And to go and tell people of the revelation of who He is. It kind of goes along with what I'm going to talk about today. So this, you could call this the authority of the believer past, it's okay though, you know. So remember the last time I spoke, I talked about the authority of the believer. You could call this the authority of the believer part two, but I think a more appropriate, because it's kind of a continuation, but a more appropriately, I want to call it upon this rock. Upon this rock, the church of the living God. Jesus. So if you'll turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am?" Or, He said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will say to you, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious words of life. Thank you for the revelation of who you are. So in this story, Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I love that he said the Son of the living God, because there were many gods. Still today, there are many gods. Dead gods. Wrong gods. But there's only one living God. The Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One. Jesus told him, he said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Man did not tell you this. This was a revelation. This was revealed to you by My Father, the revelation from heaven of who Jesus was." Sadly, a lot of religious people of the day didn't understand. They didn't discern the times. They didn't understand the time of the visitation of the Lord. They were spiritually dead. Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchers full of dead man's bones. I think it's harder to reach religious folk. We're on the same page. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." What rock? What rock was he talking about? Was he talking about Peter? He did call Peter a little stone. Petros means a little stone. The rock Jesus was talking about is called Petra in the Greek. These are Greek words. It means huge, solid, fixed, immovable rock. The whole foundation of the gospel is that He is the Christ, the chief cornerstone. And we are all part of building the church. We are the church, and we're building the church. So we could say we were kind of like Peter. We're a part of a smaller stone connected to that Petra, that solid, immovable rock that is Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. He said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Keys represent authority. Thus why I'm tying this into the authority of the believer. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's the authority that he gave us. He gave us many things to help us. Many things. His church, the ecclesia, which is the Greek word, operates. We operate as one, moving together. Different parts, different manifestations, different areas of service, but we all are under one umbrella, under one head, Jesus. So Jesus said, whatever you loose will be loose, whatever you bind will be bound. So an example of that, the woman that was bent over, and she had been that way for many days. Listen, I better go to that scripture or I'll get it messed up. Luke 13:11. I didn't give you that one, Bonnie. I added it. It was an additive later. So 11 says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no wise raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, of course, the religious folk, the sepulchers, dead man's bones, got upset about it. And they had a thing about doing things on the Sabbath, and that he performed this miracle on the Sabbath. And he called them hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath loose the ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to the water? So ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from her bonds on the Sabbath? That's the example of Jesus using that loosing and binding the keys to the kingdom. What I loose will be loose. What is bound will be bound. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, back to the ecclesia. That word ecclesia is from the Greek, and it means called out. If you are part of the ecclesia, the church, and Jesus called it my church, and it's the first time church was used. Jesus said it, my church, we are his church as a whole. Called out, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The New Living Translation says it like this. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. I like that. God's only very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's a beautiful picture of how we were brought out of darkness and can witness to others the goodness of God. Jesus loves his church. He's passionate about his church. He paid a high price for it. He's the head and the savior of it. He gave himself for it. He sanctifies. He cleanses. He receives it. Makes the church glorious, spotless, perfect, holy, and faultless. He nourishes it. Cares for it. Brings it up. Protects his glorious church. He's got a lot invested, I would say, yes. The church of the living God will not fail. We have the keys to the kingdom. We have the authority. We have the power. And we have the Holy Spirit. And not if that wasn't enough, he gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We will not fail. We're going out of this place with a bang. He's coming to receive us, but not broke, busted, and disgusted, right? Why am I saying this? Why am I saying all of this? So you will know you have what you need to reach out to a lost and dying world that has no hope. The hour is short. The darkness is dark. But we are to shine bright in the darkness. Let's go to Isaiah 60. This is one of my favorite scriptures. The Lord showed me this years and years ago, even though it's talking about Israel. It is us today. I'll take Old Testament promises and say, that's mine. Because we have a better covenant. How much more? How much more? Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. I think today we can say there's some deep darkness on some people, right? But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we are to deliver the package. What is the package? The revelation of who he is. The revelation that he is the Christ. The revelation that he is our consolation. That song was talking about. The revelation. He is our hallelujah. I love that song. He is our hallelujah. He is our all in all. He's everything. He's everything. And we have that living on the inside of us. He's the good news, the free gift from God. Luke 2:10. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Praise God. Let's go over to Romans 10. Romans 10. Let me get over to. I have it marked and I still can't find it. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That's us. That's us. We have glad tidings of good things to tell people. Amen? So, deliver the package. Deliver the package to people. You have freely received, freely give salvation, love, healing, forgiveness, peace, deliverance, joy, and so much more. That's what's in us. We are walking treasure chests full of the goodness and the power of God. He has this treasure in earthen vessels. Doesn't matter what the need is, the Word of God has the answer. We're the vessels full of the treasure to make manifest the power of God that He might be glorified. It's all about Him getting the glory. Amen? It's not about us, per se. It's about His glory. His glory. It's the goodness of God that draws men into repentance. The NLT Bible says it like this. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean anything to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin. Amen. I love that. Jesus wants us to deliver the package to other people. Help us find the victims and turn them into victors, because that's where we were. We were victims. We didn't have the revelation of who He is. But when we gave our life to Him, we became victors. Amen. 2 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a reason to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. Be ever ready to deliver the package. Be ever ready to share the gospel, the beautiful package that He provided for us, that lives on the inside of us. So I have some tips and advice for sharing the gospel so that we can be what people need. We can be there. We have the answers. If we don't know the answer, we can find out the answer, can't we? Right? Number one, pray. I know this is all kind of like, okay, yeah, we know this, but, you know. Pray. God said He would give us the heathen as an inheritance. How much more will He give us our family members, our friends, acquaintances? If He'll give us the heathen, He'll give us anyone, right? This whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Know the word. When you need it, it'll come out. I don't know how many times I have shocked my own self. Well, we would be praying or something would happen, and all of a sudden, boop, a scripture would come out that I had not thought about in years. But boy, it's in there. It's in there. I really begin to realize that when you put that scripture in you, it comes out, and you're thinking, I haven't thought about that in years. Wow. You know, so anyway, if you put it in, it'll come out at the appropriate time. Be in tune with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's another duh. He'll tell you what to say. Sometimes the best thing you can do is be quiet. Be quiet. You may not always know the answer. You may, when I was a baby Christian back in long, many years ago, I had my Pampers on, but boy, I thought I had to give Genesis to Revelation. You know, and I would just rattle off everything I knew at the time. And I found out one day that I did not know all the answers, because, you know, I thought I did. I was at work, and we got into a conversation about the Lord. And there was a girl sitting there, and I just happened to say something about, you know, Jesus is the way, He's the only way to get to heaven. And she whirled around and looked at me. And if looks could kill, I would not be standing here today. Because she said, you mean to tell me that I have to accept Jesus to go to heaven? I'm a good person. Y'all ever heard that one? I'm a good person. And I, you know, like I said, I was a baby. Good thing I had my Pampers on, because I didn't know what to say. Now, boy, I wish somebody had asked me that again. I might know something to say, But then I was just like, a-duh. It kind of threw me back, right? So have an answer for people if you can. But sometimes just being quiet. I didn't have anything to say, so I was just quiet. But I believe the words that were spoken were seeds sown into her life. And I believe that that girl got born again. She got born again because of the word does not return void. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Amen. But boy, it shook me. So, know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Know the scriptures so they can come out at the appropriate time. But, you know, Pastor Kathy says she was sitting alone by herself with a kitty cat in her lap. That's okay, too. But sometimes we are the vessel. You know, I heard of a guy that didn't even know what it meant to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? I heard a good explanation. Matter of fact, it was my mom. This happened to her. She, this young lady, she was doing a revival in somewhere close to the border. I think it was in Texas. And anyway, so there was a lot of Hispanic people there, and she kind of had a little bit of an interpretation problem there. But anyway, that's not really the point. There was this young girl, and she was engaged to be married to this young man that was not born again. He was not a Christian. And mom had preached all week, and she didn't know. And she would give an altar call, and he would never came all week long. And so toward the end of the revival, it was like Sunday, they were having a luncheon, and then that night was the last one. The mother and the daughter came to her and pulled her off to the side and said, "Look, I love him, and my mother loves him, but he's not born again. And we just want him to be born again." Anyway, long story short, they brought him to mom right then. And she said, "Boy, I had to be instant in season and out," because it was like whatever. So the revelation that the Lord had showed her to tell him was, she said, "You see the Rio Grande out there, the river that's running? And if somebody was out there and they were drowning, and you threw them a lifesaver and you pulled them to shore, you saved their life." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "That's what it's like." And I'm kind of messing it up. I'm sure she could tell it a lot better. But she said, "That's what it like. Jesus gave you that life preserver, but you have to reach out and take it." He didn't understand what it meant to be saved. So kind of know. I mean, don't take it for granted that everyone knows what saved means. I was witnessing to somebody at my office one time, and I thought he was born again because he was reading some book that said something about Christianity. And I said, "Oh, are you a believer? Are you born again?" He goes, "Born again? What does that mean?" So don't take it for granted that people just know what these, you know, what Christianese is, you know, all the time. So, and you can follow Jesus' example. Ask questions. Jesus asked questions. Sometimes our job is just to get people to think. You may not have any other job duty that day other than to cause somebody to think. Ask a question. Why do you believe that? Who told you that? People are brainwashed religiously and in every other way as well. And sometimes we have to chip away at the crust. Remember, we all had that crust. We're still chipping away at our crust, aren't we? Amen. I know I am. I know y'all are all perfect. Be patient. God is patient with us. Be a friend. Be a friend. Be interested in their life. Share your testimony. Keep it simple. Keep it short. Leave them wanting more, you know? So now I'd ask the church for... Oh, I need my phone. Let me get my phone. Sorry, I'm going to be a little break in the action. I had asked the church if they had any tips or anything to share with people. And Bonnie responded... Oh, you're funny. You're funny. And so, what you said was great, that we need information to know how can we better reach people. That's what it's all about. It's all about souls. It's all about ministering to people in whatever capacity that they need, whatever it is, being a friend or sharing the gospel or answering Bible questions for them or, you know, giving them a ride. You know, our church is so blessed and good at all of this. I don't really feel like I'm preaching to the choir, you know, but anyway. So, So Bonnie said, most Americans have heard or know of Jesus, which makes it harder because they are predetermined, they have predetermined ideas and concepts about it. So we'll say, I know about Jesus, or I believe in Jesus, never accepting him, just head knowledge. We have to be able to break the religious strongholds that are there. This idea that I don't need to live for Jesus to get to heaven, and that Jesus is looking and will accept me, lies from the enemy for sure. I like that. Lies from the enemy. It is, isn't it? To reach especially people you already know means they need to see something real in you. I love this, Bonnie. They know you, and therefore words aren't it. They need to see how Jesus works in your daily life. It takes a true walk with God. The people that know us the best are sometimes the hardest to minister to. What did Jesus say? A prophet is not without honor except in his own land. Preachers, and a lot of times your own family's like, yeah, yeah. But when they see it in you, it makes a difference. And then Pastor Kathy, our precious pastor, she said this, serving the needs of people and being there for them opens the door for you to speak into their life. I quote scriptures that are very positive and uplifting to bring encouragement. People are interested in being encouraged. I talk as if they are on the same page with me and always smile. If we aren't happy, why would they want to listen to us? We have to live it. So the thing is that Bonnie and Pastor are on the same page. We have to live it. And there's all these other things that we can do, but we have to live it. They've got to see that it's real, right? Amen. I love it. Well, praise God. That's what I've got today. And I want to pray for pastors and Linda and George and Mackie. Is Mackie doing okay? Everything's good? So let's just pray over our church members real quick. And then I have a song that I wanted Bonnie to play because it just meant so much to me. And we pray that the commercial doesn't pop up. Father, we just thank you today for your precious word. We thank you. I thank you for the people of God, these precious, precious people that love you so much and just want to do your will for their life and to reach out to others. Help us to reach out to others. Help us to be what they need when they need it. Help us to be your hands and your feet. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over our precious pastors as they're traveling. We thank you, Father, for complete and total healing and restoration in their bodies. We thank you, Father, that you bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. We thank you, Father, that you bless Mackie as she is ministering to her family. Thank you, Father, that you just perfect everything that concerns our church family members. Thank you, we're blessed spiritually, physically, and financially. And we just give you all the glory and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus, our revelation. Amen.